We must first get a thing before we can keep it. In order to keep it well, we must get a firm grip of it. We cannot keep in the heart that which we have not heartily embraced by the affections. Highly prize the scriptures, or you will not obey them. These are two quotes coming to you from Charles Spurgeon. Now, before starting this broadcast, I would like to ask you a few questions. First of all, are you keeping or obeying God's word? Perhaps I should ask it this way. Do you have a firm grip of the Holy Scriptures? Are you keeping them in your heart? Are you highly prizing them? Because if not, you will not keep or obey that which is not first heartily embraced by your affections. In other words, keep or treasure the scriptures in your heart, and then you will be able to keep or obey them in your life. In this broadcast, we are continuing the theme of resolutions in our new series entitled, In the Beginning Was the Word. In this particular broadcast, we will cover the new subject of obeying the Lord as we deal with resolution number 41 as found in Psalm 119 verse 2, which says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. Now, implied in this verse of scripture is the resolution of the psalmist. You could almost hear him saying, I will keep God's testimonies because I won his blessing on my life. He brought it forth by saying, blessed are they that keep his testimonies. What he was saying there was, how happy, joyful are those who obey his laws. How blessed are those who observe his rules. Oh, the happiness of those keeping his testimonies. Now, when we talk about keeping, blessed are they that keep his testimonies. There are two ways of looking at that word keep. First of all, blessed are they that keep his testimonies. It's talking about those who treasure up the word of God in their hearts. They search the scriptures. They come to an understanding of them. They love them. They keep them as a treasure of inestimable value. They keep them in their mind, in their memory, and in their heart. They keep them in their affections. So that's one way of saying, oh, how happy are those who are storing up, treasuring up God's word in their hearts. Another way of looking at it is this way. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, keeping those who are continuing in the practice of them, those who are obeying carefully and diligently God's word. They're taking his word as a guide of their daily conduct. They're taking it as a determining factor in their daily actions. They're taking God's word as a light to lead them along life's dark and difficult ways. And this word is affecting all their thought, feeling, speech, and actions. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. Now, there is a doctrinal keeping of the word. And what's that? What that's referring to is when you're ready to die for its defense. When you have convictions based on the word and you are ready to die for the defense of those convictions, that's the doctrinal keeping of God's word. But There is also the practical keeping of God's word when you actually live under its power. And that's what we're talking about here. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. Now, the whole entire Psalm 119 is dedicated to the word of God. And the psalmist, you'll notice throughout, will use words like precepts, statutes, laws, testimonies, and these all refer to the word of God or the scriptures of truth. So here in this particular verse, the psalmist is saying, blessed are they that keep his testimonies. He's talking about the entire word of God, but he calls it his testimonies. Now, the reason why he's calling it God's testimonies, because in it, God testifies. Testimonies, God testifies. He testifies for truth and against sin. He testifies the scriptures, the whole entire word of God. It testifies the mind of God. It testifies of Christ, his person, offices, and grace. It testifies of the sufferings of Christ and the glory to follow. And it also testifies what is right and good for men. So that's why the psalmist calls it his testimonies. Now, I want you to go with me over to Psalm 19:7. And we're going to get a clear view of that word testimony. Here in Psalm 19:7, that David said, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Here he's mentioned the word testimony, the testimony of the Lord. And he called it that because, in reference to God's word, because it testifies to all ages what the will of the Lord is. This testimony of the Lord, this is another name for the word of God, for the Holy Scriptures. It's another name for revealed truth, all that's revealed, that which God bears witness to, that which God affirms to be true. Also, the testimony of the Lord can refer to the moral law. If you remember the two tables of the law, the two tables, the Ten Commandments, they were laid up in the ark, and the ark was called the Ark of the Testimony, Ark of Testimony. Okay, so it's referring to the word of God, the testimony of the Lord. This is what God requires of man and what he will do for man. Now, notice what David said about the testimony of the Lord. He said that it is sure. So here we have it in a world of uncertainties. We have something sure to rest upon. Oh, hallelujah. We're talking about something that is not unsettled, vacillating, or uncertain, but it's established and it is firm. The word of God is certain. It can be relied on. It is well established. It can't be shaken. So that's why David said the testimony of the Lord is sure, and it makes wise the simple. It makes you wise in the knowledge of God, but it also makes you wise in the knowledge of yourself. It enlightens your moral judgment, and it gives instruction, direction, and guidance to those in need. So we go back to our main text, Psalm 119, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. We're talking about the word of God. Blessed are they that store up his word in their heart, and those who obey his word in their lives. But for the purpose of this broadcast, we want to look at specifically the question, How do I keep his testimonies? How do I obey and practice his word? And I want to give you four ways to keep his testimonies, and they're all found in Psalm 119. Number one, hold fast to God's word. Number two, value God's word. Number three, cry out to God for his life-giving grace. And number four, pray for God to touch your heart. So how do I keep his testimonies? First of all, I hold fast to God's word. Psalm 119, verse 31, the psalmist said, I have stuck unto thy testimonies. What he meant by that was, I have cleaved to, I have been glued to his testimonies, to his word, with unchanged affection and with unshaken resolution. I've been closely adhered to. I have firmly believed. I have steadfastly professed. I have resolutely persisted in the practice of your precepts. Hold fast to God's word. We're not talking about a restless and fitful movement here, but a firm and consistent adhesion to fixed principles, to the word of God. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. Okay, how do I keep your testimonies? Secondly, I value God's word. I value God's word. Now, there are two parts to this. First of all, when you value God's word, you see its true character. Psalm 119, 129, the psalmist said, thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, does my soul keep them? Now, notice he spells it out for us. How do I keep his testimonies? Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, does my soul keep them? The psalmist saw the true character of God's word. He said, your word, your testimonies are wonderful. They're wonderful for the power that's invested in them. They're wonderful for the matter that they contain, the excellent wisdom, the deep mysteries, the most excellent counsels and directions, the exceeding great and precious promises that are contained in them. Not only that, but they're wonderful for the manner in which they're written and the effects they produce. And because he saw that God's testimonies, God's word is wonderful, he said, then therefore does my soul keep them. Because they are surpassingly wise and benevolent, this is the impulse of my obedience to them. They are wonderful, therefore my soul should not resist them, but keep them. Charles Spurgeon said this, some men wonder at the words of God and use them for their speculation, but David was always practical, and the more he wondered, the more he obeyed. So how do I keep his testimonies? I value God's word. I see its true character. But I also see it, the second part, I see it as a treasure beyond expression. Psalm 119, verse 14, the psalmist said, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Those words, I have rejoiced, express a high degree of joy here. He's saying, I have rejoiced, but notice he didn't say, in thy testimonies, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. He's talking here about way, course, path. He's talking about the constant, even course of obedience, the practice of God's word, the doing of what he declares to be his will. His delight was not in speculation or talk, but in obedience and the practice of God's word. He founded his chief happiness to be found in the path of obedience. He said, as much as in all riches, as much as people are happy or rejoice who have great wealth, he said, that's as much. That's how I'm rejoicing in my obedience to God's word. Oh, hallelujah. How do I keep God's testimonies? I hold fast to his word. I value his word. And thirdly, I cry out to God for his life-giving grace. Psalm 119, verse 88, the psalmist said, quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. There it is again. He spells it out. God, if you'll quicken me, I'll be able to keep your testimonies. What did he mean by that? Quicken me. He was crying out to God, give me life, revive me, cause me to live, make me alive and lively, enable me to keep your testimonies, because without spiritual life, there will be no obedience. You see, the effect of God's grace on your life will be the increase of the fruits of obedience. Now, you need to hear this, because there's a lot of false teaching out right now about grace. When you have grace on your life, there's going to be an increase of the fruits of obedience. Listen to what the pulpit commentary said. It is God's quickening, that is his life-giving grace, which enables his servants to observe and keep his commandments. You can keep God's word because of his life-giving grace. So shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Matthew Henry added, we cannot proceed nor persevere in the good way unless God quicken us and put life into us. We are therefore here taught to depend upon the grace of God for strength to do every good work. How do I keep God's testimonies? I hold fast to God's word. I value God's word. I cry out to God for his life-giving grace. And number four, lastly, I pray for God to touch my heart. Psalm 119:36, the psalmist said, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Here he was praying. He was asking God, cause my heart to be inclined to your word. Turn my heart toward your statutes. Make me want to obey you. Give me the desire to obey your laws. Direct my heart toward your written instructions. The pulpit commentary said this, with the inclined heart, the life of obedience becomes easy, becomes even a delight. So, oh, how we need to pray, God, incline my heart to your word. Because when your heart is inclined, obedience comes easy. And so here we have the psalmist praying, cause my heart to be inclined to your word. But he also adds, oh, don't let my heart be inclined to covetousness. He's praying here that his heart would be diverted from covetousness. Restrain and mortify my inclination to covetousness. What does he mean by that, by covetousness? He's talking about selfish gain, love for money, material gain. And, you know, it's said of covetousness that it's the root of all evil. This is the sin that stands opposed to all God's testimonies. This is the sin that is most opposite to God's word. Because covetousness, this selfish gain, this love for money, hinders men from receiving his word and profiting by it. It chokes the word. It makes it unfruitful in your life. It draws your heart away from God's testimonies. Now, we have prosperity teachers. Some of them are false, that preach, all they preach is money, 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 love for money. God is not against you having wealth or having prosperity, but you must be very careful that your heart is not inclined toward that money, toward that love for money, that selfish gain. Oh God, give me more, more for me, self, self. That your heart must be inclined unto the word, and not to covetousness. For covetousness will wipe out what the word's trying to do, and your life will be filled with disobedience as a result. Charles Spurgeon said this, the only way to cure a wrong leaning is to have the soul bent in the opposite direction. Holiness of heart is the cure for covetousness. Our main text is, blessed are they that keep his testimonies. How do I keep his testimonies and be blessed? How do I get the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and he adds no sorrow on my life, my home, my family, my ministry? We have seen in this message through God's word, you hold fast to God's word. You value God's word. You cry out to him for his life-giving grace. And you pray for God to touch your heart, to turn it away from covetousness or selfish gain and turn it toward his testimonies. And then you will see that you will enjoy God's blessing on your life as a result. Our time is up for today's broadcast, but I encourage you, stay tuned for our next teaching as we continue our study of resolutions as found in the book of Psalms. This is Connie Giordano with Walking in Truth Ministry, praying that you, through your obedience, will enter into God's blessing, which makes rich and adds no sorrow. In Jesus' name, amen.